Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with a candidate, the candidate as I would like to call it, running for Florida House, District 13 for the state of Florida, La Sierra Masselin. La Sierra is a Christian lady running to represent District 13 and for the state of Florida. The telephone number, if you'd like to call, ask her questions, give dialogue and discussion on the issue today. The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Well, last year we were talking just before the news break about your stand, and I think that we could call it, if I could be bold enough to do this, would be a conservative Christian stand in all that you say and do. With that being said, let me ask you, last year, to take a few minutes without calling your opponent's name. Tell us, in a comparison and contrast, what that person stands for versus what you stand for, so that our listeners will understand the vital need to cast a vote for you on November the 8th.
Absolutely. So my opponent is, she's very divisive. She's your person that will give you the racist narrative over and over and over again. We're oppressed. Everything is racist. Everything's about a black attack and all of this nonsense. As opposed to, you know, just trying to talk about the issues of the day and how she would like to resolve them. I am completely the opposite, obviously. I'm about unity, peace. The Lord sees no race but the human race.
Amen.
Also, my opponent is for gun reform. I am not. I am not opposed. I'm not about taking guns from the American citizens of Florida. I believe wholeheartedly that you have a right to protect your family from criminals, anyone that would try to come in and attack you or steal any of your goods. You have a right to protect yourself. Criminals are going to have their guns, so therefore we need to be armed with ours, and that does include the AR-15. I'm
right.
Not for the mess. You know, I'm not going to be ambushed. I don't believe that, you know, the American people should be caught off guard just with a handgun. You have every right, you know, to have what you need to protect you and your family. That is your God-given right. That is not a system or a world system right. That is a God-given right. So
right.
If we have problems with mental people getting a hold of these guns, we need to facilitate helping those individuals, those very few individuals, might I add, that have a problem getting a hold of these guns and take care of that. But to try to disarm the American public is problematic for me. So that is the opposite with my opponent. I am also for keeping every pregnancy that occurs in every woman, and I'm not for murder. I'm not for murder. My opponent is the opposite. Obviously, God gives life. He sends the life with purpose and with a gift. And also, abortion is the number one killer of the black community. So
right.
I am not a traitor to my race. So I stand completely for life.
Would you say with your opponent, your opponent, let's just go down a litany of things. Would your opponent be for the LGBTQ sodomite agenda in the classroom?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And do you stand against that, and why?
Yes, I stand completely against the sodomite agenda, the LGBTQ, AIWT, all of that nonsense. I stand completely against it being taught in our schools. First of all, as a lifestyle as a whole, but I don't need to know who you sleep with, so that's your business. But what we're not going to do is try to implement that in our school systems. You're not going to teach that at any grade level, even on the university level. That's not going to be taught, because if that's going to be taught, we need to go ahead and be sure that prayer is back in our schools. Because what that mess is, it's a form of a religion. It's a form of a lifestyle. And so we like to try to say separation from church and state, and we try to utilize all of these other innuendos and sayings and all stuff without any understanding. But we need to have our prayer back in our schools. We need to teach the word of God in our schools. If you think it's okay to sexualize our children and teach them how to touch themselves or want to be touched, and or if they want to switch their genders from day to day. So I stand wholeheartedly, boldly against that mess, and I'm not for thinking that America is racist or that I'm oppressed. I've had every opportunity to do anything any other race has afforded the opportunity as well.
Amen. Then what you're saying is there is a major, major visible difference, actual difference in your candidacy and the individual, your opponent, that's running against you. You would say that
Absolutely. You
would be standing on, if I can use the term, the conservative biblical worldview versus a socialist, Marxist, secular worldview. Am I stating that correctly?
You are dead on, Dr. Youngblood. It is completely night and day. So it shouldn't be confusing.
And so,
what you would
ladies
like
and gentlemen, let
see.
Me put it this way. A vote for LaSierra Massillon is a vote for morals, ethics, values, and a return to parental control of what has been taught, what is being taught in our schools. LaSierra, you recall that just this year, earlier this year, I believe it was, the bill was passed that makes it illegal in the state of Florida for a teacher to teach the CRT, the critical race theory, which is a race divisive designed to destroy the racial harmony in our nation, and then with the LGBTQ agenda. And it's illegal in the state of Florida for teachers or leadership in our schools to teach up to the third grade, kindergarten through third. Would you be willing to introduce legislation to expand that, as you alluded to earlier, for going all the way through high school and even the universities?
Yes, absolutely. I would be so privileged to be able to do so. And I would definitely get some counterpoints ready for them to hear. And that also includes the community. I'm not opposed to reaching out to our community, the daycares, the universities, and getting their letters of recommendations, and they're allowing mm-hmm. the House members to hear their voice. Mm-hmm. Because I really believe that we're stronger together. I believe that they need to hear you all's experiences, what's happening in your homes, what's happening in your classrooms, because I really think they kind of are far from reality. They get in the seat and they think that they some high echelon folk or something. Like, I don't know what it is. They're sitting on a throne or something. I don't know. But they need to wake up and really hear what the community is indeed saying, because that's who we represent.
Absolutely. LaSierra, would you take just a moment and 1, 2, 3, tell our listeners your top 3 agenda items from the day that you're sworn into office. What's the top 3 things that you want to accomplish?
Just 3, Dr. Youngblood? Okay.
So I want 10 to if you sure want to.
Okay. So I want to make sure we keep our medical freedoms. Absolutely. We got to make sure we keep that intact. We cannot have these folks telling us what to put in our systems. And then that's a whole nother subject, but I possibly will get into that later. Also, we got to get rid of this. We got to put a ban on this abortion. We got to make sure that we keep life. We make sure we preserve life. That's how America remains blessed. We don't need innocent blood on our hands whatsoever. There are repercussions and consequences to that. And then also I am going to make sure we keep ourselves armed.
That's good. Well, you touched on the medical freedom. Many of our listeners may not understand that terminology. I do very well. Would you elaborate on that further? Because across the nation, we were repressed. We were brought under the leadership of tyrants that were dogmatically issuing executive orders of having to wear a mask with a forced COVID death jab, et cetera, et cetera. What is your position on that? What should we do? How should legislators treat that for the protection of we the people?
Yes, so medical freedom is so important to me. We've had so many casualties happening over the last several years, and it's just been heart-wrenching. And so I am making sure that we are not in a position where we're losing our jobs, losing our businesses, and just shutting down as a whole because we don't necessarily agree with what, you know, they say we need to do as far as injecting things in our system that don't even work, don't have no statistics, information, none of the sort, and then they have severe side effects to them as well. So I want to make sure that we are, you know, we're not being forced. This is not a communist country, and I wouldn't dare allow them to have that even begin on my watch. So I would be your voice for being sure we remain free when it comes to medical decisions. It's something that has hit home for me for several of my loved ones, you know, people, family members in process of buying homes and just trying to plan and, you know, for their future, but then they're being threatened at work about you need this, you need that, you need to stick yourself with this, you need to wear a mask and all of that. So again, making sure that the people make decisions based on their individual families. This is not a whole blanket, you know, everyone, one size fit all and all of that. We're going to make sure if whatever you want to do, you can do it individually based on yourself and your family.
I'm glad to hear that. In fact, Lassiera, you're probably familiar with the fact that in the state of Florida, Governor DeSantis lifted all restrictions from the standpoint of the forced mandates to wear masks and to social distance and to lock down businesses, etc. But that's inclusive for all state or governmental agencies. Places, medical associations, hospitals, doctor's offices, multitudes of them still have the repressive requirement of wearing a mask. And it goes back to Senate Bill 988 that was passed this year. And Senate Bill 988 basically says that an individual family member has the right to go visit a patient in the hospital, but that the hospitals, the doctors' associations, medical associations still has the right to prescribe the conditions by which you can do that. And, for example, Baptist South and all of the affiliations with Baptist Hospital still require you to put on a mask for you to even be able to walk into the building. Mm-hmm. That is a forced submission to a policy that is absolutely illogical. 146 studies says that masks have no effect from the standpoint of preventing or from the standpoint of transmission of any pathogen or disease. When that bill was passed, I had the privilege of talking with our Duval delegation, talking with them about it. But it wound up that the medical association, the insurance companies and the hospitals, the medical association had the major say-so in the passage of that legislation, which still is crafted so that we the people still have to submit to illogical, unreasonable requirements just to go into a hospital or a doctor's office. I know it's a very, very tall order, but I believe that bill needs to be revisited. I believe that law needs to be revisited from the standpoint of a modification that will give back our medical freedom, as you so clearly stated and articulated. So I know that it's something that you can't make an absolute statement on, that I will change it. But I would ask you, on the benefit of our listeners today, would you investigate that potentiality and see what can be done for that law, which is now law, Senate Bill 988, for that law to be modified that puts the control back in the hands of we the people and not in the lobbyists, in the medical association, and the insurance companies, because all of these agencies, medical agencies, have the authority to basically still shut us out and to prevent us from having our medical freedoms, as you have articulated. So I'm thankful for you and for your run. Let me just quickly touch on two or three other things. I believe you're passionate, and I'm thankful for that. You're passionate about doing something for seniors and for veterans. What is it you see that needs to be done? What are the deficits, and what do you think needs to take place to correct it?
So with our seniors, as well as our disabled veterans, I am seeing that they are the most that's been affected about this unprecedented inflation that's occurring. I believe that they can't go out and get a part-time job. They can't go out and get a second job or try to supplement their income in some way. So I believe that they are being affected the worst during this time. And so what I propose is that if they qualify for certain tools and resources that's already in place, such as Medicaid, cash assistance, food stamps, things of that nature, Section 8, HUD housing, if they already qualify for those things, they also need to get some assistance to not allow their rent to go up, get some assistance in paying their light bills, as well as any additional things that they need to have for daily living. So that is something that I'm willing to propose and present once I, dot all my I's and cross all my T's and get some more information concerning the ratio and the population and all such as that. I'm willing to present this to get them some further assistance. I am one of the professions I have is a Medicare broker. I've done that for several years. And so I'm often hearing my Medicare clients, not have enough. They're only getting $500 a month, $600 a month, and that's obviously not enough to live off of. So we definitely want to get some assistance, and this is with them already having Medicaid, already having assistance, what they call low-income assistance for their prescription. So I would love to get an opportunity to present a bill to get them some assistance that'll help them with their light bill, maybe gas, or whatever it might be to further assist them to have some money in their pocket.
You're talking about those that can't help themselves but need an assistance, a hand up, not a hand down, hand out, but a hand up, as it is called. You're not talking about, and I want our listeners to understand, you're not talking about giving somebody a paycheck to sit at home and not work. You're talking about helping those that cannot help themselves.
Absolutely.
I understand that. La Sierra, there is a need today, in my opinion, to take a stand on some very serious issues. We have, and we've talked about the sexualization and the brainwashing of our kids in school and your stand on those issues to stop that. But we have, and we've talked about this before, but I want our listeners to understand it. House Bill or Senate Bill 7014, it was, that went into effect in March of this year, which our legislators passed at the behest of lobbyists and the medical industry, the medical field, that gives total blanket immunity to hospitals and doctors and the medical associations if they treat a patient for COVID and go by the CDC protocol, which is a protocol of death. And if they do that, they cannot be sued, cannot be forced to make whole family members that have lost loved ones at the hands of the medical profession. That is Senate Bill 7014. It's a law now. It expires July 1st of 2023. So it's about another 10-month life on that law. Would you be willing to make a commitment to our listeners that you will see that that law is not renewed and or even in the first session that you're in, if it could be repealed? Would you make that kind of commitment to our listeners today?
Yes, I absolutely can. I will do everything that I possibly can do in speaking against, as well as presenting facts and resources that will basically show them that this is not the way to go. I'm disgusted. I can barely even think right now, because when you were saying that, it's just disgusting to be able to say that you're following a certain protocol, but then the results of it is somebody expiring and truly losing their life. And, you know, life has just been played with. It's just been toyed with. I've seen videos as well as read articles about how the World Economic Forum is trying to diminish and minimize the population by 50% by year 2023. And I really believe that that's what this is all about. It's such a diabolical plan and a demonic attack against the we the people. You said that so many times in this interview, Dr. Youngblood, and I really believe that we the people need to wake up. And I don't mean just, you know, say some things and we just conversate with each other over barbecue. We need to make some noise. We need to take a stand. Yes, I'm in there to be your voice. Yes, I'm in there to present things and try to get some things done and come back and report. But it's more of us that be with us than it is of them. You all, we have to work together. We have to say something. We have to show up to these meetings. We have to come to the Capitol. We have to let them hear our voices so they realize that we are not asleep. We're not going about our daily lives, just worried about ourselves and our homes. If it comes to my door, it will come to your door. We really just have to work together and ask the Lord what to do, what your part is, so we can get a lot of these things overturned.
Absolutely. That's so vital and necessary. There's another thing that is a major interest for me, and I pray that it is for you and for our listeners. We have 39 states today, 39, that have legalized medical marijuana. We have about 21 states that have legalized recreational marijuana. And the feds are talking about making it a federal legal drug. And just recently, President Biden made a fiat decision by executive order that no longer would marijuana be used as a charge against a person that would incarcerate them. Basically, turn the key on the jail doors for everybody that's been incarcerated as a result of marijuana use and or sales. In the state of Florida, I believe we need to be proactive. I believe there needs to be legislation that would prevent recreational marijuana in the state of Florida. They had it scheduled, the kingpins had it scheduled to be an amendment on the Constitution on the ballots for November the 8th. Supreme Court in the state of Florida ruled that their 90-word wording of that legislative agenda was illegal, so therefore it will not be on the ballot for November the 8th for, as a constitutional amendment. That being said, it will be on the ballot then in the following year, the following election cycle. So I believe we need to be proactive in the legislative branch in Tallahassee to introduce and pass legislation that will make recreational marijuana illegal in the state of Florida, specifically stating that, specifically taking that stand. Is that an issue that you are willing to stand for? And what are your thoughts in relationship to that?
Yes, absolutely. So whenever we don't know the use of something, we abuse it. And so I believe that marijuana is supposed to be utilized in the proper form. Okay. So, you know, it's used, you know, to a certain degree as far as a certain gram or what have you for patients that need it for, I forget exactly the term. I don't know if it's anxiety or what the actual use for it as far as the patients are concerned. And I believe that that's what it needs to be used for, and that's it, and that's all. All of
that's
this
right.
Illegal.
We have medical marijuana law on the books today in the state of Florida.
Yes.
It is legal with medical marijuana.
Yes.
One of the things they're doing, however, they have the pot shop. They have the pot shops on every street corner, and I believe they're circumventing that law. In fact, on national news, first thing this morning, there was major conversation about it's been proven that marijuana is highly addictive, contrary to what others say, and that it causes major schizophrenia and other major maladies in that person and personality of the person that is addicted to marijuana. And it says that it is highly addictive because they're, even with the medical marijuana, they're increasing the amount of TCH or THC in that, which is the addictive portion of it. And so it's my opinion, based on the authority of Scripture, that we as moral, ethical Christian leaders need to take a stand to prevent that from being promulgated and spread in our state. And so it is my prayer that you would have that open door and opportunity to do so. LaSierra, would you take a few minutes? And I realize we're on the last leg of the election. We've got 4 weeks, 28 days. Give our listeners how they can information, how they can reach you. These last 28 days, how can they help you get over the finish line and win this election?
Sure. So you can reach me at 904-413-0530. Again, that's 904-413-0530. You can email me at vote@lasierramaslin.com, and that's LAC as in Charlie, IARA, MAS as in Sam, LINE.com. All on the website, you can find my social medias as well as my email as well. And you can mail any donations to P.O. Box 12497, Jacksonville, Florida 32209.
LaSierra, we've got about a minute left on the broadcast. Would you take this minute and make your presentation to our listeners asking for their vote, telling them succinctly why they need to vote for you and put you in office as our representative in District 13?
If you all have ever stated that we need a change, that we need to get back on the straight and narrow, we need God to speak, we need God to move. God is moving, and I am a part of that move. So I ask for your vote on November 8th. Early voting starts October the 24th through November 6th. And I ask that you vote NPA. It's a new day. Vote NPA, November 8th.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking with LaSierra Maslin. LaSierra is running with a no-party affiliation. She has been recommended based on the Biblical Concepts Ministries newsletter that's just gone out. In fact, I just received it today, where there's a high recommendation of a vote for LaSierra Maslin. In fact, I'm looking at it here. It says State House District 13, there's no Republican on the ballot. Vote for LaSierra Maslin, no party affiliation. Ms. Maslin is a conservative Christian. That's a bold statement, and I am thankful for that. Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted to have you join us today. LaSierra, thank you so much for joining us on the broadcast. And we'll be praying for you to win on November the 8th. Looking forward to that. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on the air today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. Invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.